Hi, how are you? This is me. Actually, I guess that's just a slide. That's not actually me. See if I can. Don't these presenter disclosure slides seem a little sad to you? I have no relationships to disclose. How sad. So I'm talking with you about guns and preemption. I thought I would just quickly remind folks here there are about 31,000 gun deaths in the United States every year. There are another close to 80,000 non-fatal injuries every year. So we're talking about 110,000 deaths and injuries every year, a huge public health problem. So preemption. Usually it's the case in guns that I'm up here saying, you think you got it bad. Let me tell you how bad we have it in the gun area. And it is bad in terms of preemption for guns. But the one area where we're doing reasonably well is in federal preemption of state or local laws. I won't read this whole thing to you. But most federal gun laws come from the Gun Control Act of 1968, or they're an amendment to that act. And the Gun Control Act actually has an anti-preemption clause, meaning that state, at least statutory law, is not preempted, and you see the underlined part there, unless there's a direct and positive conflict. So those of you who are lawyers know that what that means is the only kind of preemption that's left is conflict preemption. There's no express preemption or even field preemption. So what that means is we actually have a fair bit, as I'm sure you know, in some states at least, a fair bit of state statutory law. But boy, where we have it bad is in every other kind of preemption. So in 2005, a law was enacted called the Protection of Lawful Commerce, and they didn't even bother with one of those euphonious acronyms, you know, the Stand Up Act, or it's the PLCAA. So what that basically says is a qualified civil liability action that has to do with guns can't be brought in any state or federal court, and qualified civil liability actions were essentially everything. Broad, very broad immunity from liability for the firearm industry. There are a few narrow exceptions. I'll mention a couple of those to you. They didn't provide any alternative compensation scheme for people who were harmed by guns and wanted to sue. They actually had retroactive application of the law. They went back and said, any pending litigation is struck down. So most lawsuits were dismissed. And for those of us, I think all of us on this panel, and probably many of you who think that litigation has the ability to serve a public health function, that function's very dramatically eroded by the PLCAA. So this is a chart comparing litigation for guns in that first column versus vaccines, and then motor vehicles in the last column, and you see all the no's under firearms. You can't pursue your claim. You can't get punitive damages. There's not even in that last row. There's not even a federal law that governs the safety of guns. The Consumer Product Safety Commission's explicitly deny jurisdiction over guns and ammunition. Vaccines is sort of a middle example. There is, as probably most of you know, there is some limitation, some federal preemption of litigation, but they provided an alternative compensation scheme, the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, and you can even exit that program and sue under some circumstances. Compare that to motor vehicles, where we have essentially unfettered ability to bring lawsuits. So that was federal preemption. Sorry, did I go the wrong way here? No, I didn't. So this is still federal preemption of state tort law. So what do you do if you still want to bring a lawsuit? You have to bring it under one of the limited exceptions to the PLCAA, the one that's being used by the city of Gary against Smith & Wesson is one where the underlying conduct involves a knowing violation of firearm sales laws. It's a tough and narrow exception. There used to be more than 30 cities and states that were suing the gun industry. Gary is the last, at least the one I'm aware of, the last one that's around. So how about state preemption of local laws, another place where we've got it bad in guns? So in the 1980s, for the same reason that the industries in tobacco and alcohol, et cetera, identified preemption as their top legislative priority. In guns, it's not usually the industry, it's the user group, the NRA. So they're enormously successful and powerful, as you well know. So as of 2008, there are just 6 states without any express preemption. There are 44 states, you can 50 minus 6, with some form of express preemption. Obviously, all states are subject to implied preemption. But the scope of that express preemption varies quite widely. So some states have the kind of super preemption that one panel member was saying, where localities can basically do nothing. But other states leave some little wiggle room. So Maryland is one example of a state that has pretty broad preemption, but leaves exceptions for local laws that are with respect to minors, or within 100 yards of parks, churches, the places that you've mentioned there. So the strategy for gun folks has been try to undo preemption if you can, but once enacted, preemption laws are notoriously difficult, as other panel members I'm sure will attest, not just in the gun area, but in other areas. Once enacted, they're very, very tough to undo. So the strategy has been to try to regulate to fit the preemption exceptions, sort of in the interstices of the express preemption. In Maryland, there was a local law in Baltimore that required safe storage of guns. Often those local laws will lead to statewide law, and that's what happened in Maryland. And then an effort that I was part of that included the state health department and the city police, the city health department and city police, worked to make it harder for juveniles to buy ammunition, again, fitting that with respect to minors exception. So I'm getting us back on time here. That's my job, usually, at these things. The conclusion is federal preemption of state statutory law in the gun area, not usually a big problem for us. Of state tort law, that is a big problem, again, because of the PLCAA. State preemption of local law, a big problem, except in those 6 states. So what we need, and again, maybe a common theme that you're seeing among all of these topics, is what we need is creative legislation, regulation, litigation that sort of works around the preemption that we do have. Thanks very much.